Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
On Bills Live, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in snowy Orchard Park, New York, New Era Field with the tarp down, the snow dusting on top. No problem with the snow. We'll have it all set for Sunday's game, the Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. We're inside, of course, Steve and I, inside the Ad Pro Sports Training Center, the front end of the building, the Seneca Studio here for the next 3 hours. Good to be warm and indoors today, isn't it? It's nice. It's good to be warm and indoors.
Yes, it is.
It was like 25 degrees when I came into work this morning. That's okay. And I haven't looked. I'm going to look in a minute here at the forecast for Sunday. I think it's going to be okay then, too. Nothing that we can't handle. Steve, I got to say, and I wrote a piece that will go up on the website, kind of the storylines for this week. Man, I racked my brains this morning trying to remember more anticipated December home game for the Buffalo Bills in the last 20, 25 years. Hard to find
home
one.
Game?
A home game, yeah. Home game. I'll leave it at that. It's hard to find one. This just has not happened. We are in kind of uncharted waters. And look, old-timers like you and I remember, if we think hard enough, we can remember and say, oh, yeah, that was a big game.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a whole new generation of Buffalo Bills fans who have never experienced this, and I am really happy for them, really happy that they get a taste of what it's like to have a team that matters in the month of December and a game that really matters in the month of December. Congratulations to you, loyal Bills fans, those of you of a certain age, let's say under, 35 years old. You've never had this while you were meaningful fans of the team. A Bills team playing at home in a game, a couple of teams playoff bound, including the Bills. That hasn't happened in your lifetime as a Bills fan, and I'm really happy for you. And I think that's the kind of thing that kind of pays dividends down the road, right? Next year, the year after, we know what it's like now to contend in December. The Bills fans of a certain generation can now say that, the younger generation. I'm really happy for them. I really am.
Yeah, and I think it's something that, when you think about it, and it doesn't take much to get used to.
Because it happened like that right. In the 90s, right?
Right, yeah. And you start to take it for granted. But we were talking in the office just before we came on the air about, what it's like and what these games mean. You got two teams coming in here that are at the top of the conference. Not coming in here, but, the Baltimore Ravens will be in here. Then the Bills go to New England as well. Then you've also got the Jets. And you've also got
Steelers.
The Steelers. You got to go to Steelers. So, it's a really important four-game stretch for the Buffalo Bills. And I have said it. I said it earlier. Think about how the attitude is going to change if the Bills beat this team with the best record in the conference, the number one seed in the conference, comes into Buffalo and the Bills beat them.
Snap their 8-game winning streak.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a paradigm shift. You know what I mean? People are going to be like, wait a minute. People will have to actually say, wait a minute, and get their mind around that for a minute. Because there's not – you thought it was bad last week when the Bills went to Dallas and nobody picked the Bills. Nobody's picking them this week. Nobody. And I think the Bills, you wear that as a player, you got a 9-3 record, you know you're good. You wear that as a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it's going to be the difference in this game and the Bills are going to roll. Nothing like that. This is going to be a tough, hard-fought game. But I'm telling you what, there's nobody in this locker room, this building, and I don't think in this fan base that thinks, I want to see our guys play those guys. You know what I mean? I can't wait for this game. Because you've got to really think you've got a legitimate chance to knock off a really good football team with an MVP at quarterback. In December, that's pretty fun.
I wonder if there is, if in fact, a game that would signal a paradigm shift. I think some Bills fans will tell you it was last Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, that signaled to them anyway. And I wouldn't go this far, but I know some fans would say that was the game when I knew this Bills team was for real. Some might go back you know, even further than that. And now I'm looking back to see in your Bills team, Steve, and let's face it, that was the last era of great Buffalo football, the Super Bowl era. You know, and let's face it, that was almost 30 years ago now.
Right.
1989 was 30 years ago, and the Bills lost that playoff game in Cleveland. Late in the year was...
Yeah, 89, that's right.
89, yeah. Wow. Was there a game that signaled this group is for real back then? I don't see it. I can't remember it. You talk about the 90s season. You just mentioned it before you went on the air. A game that sort of changed the way you thought about you and your teammates in the 1990 season. I'm going to look up the date for us right now.
It was a game.
It was December 15th.
The old Meadowlands. Yep. I think it's week 15 of the regular season.
Yep, December 15th.
And I think both teams were 12-2. They'd all, you know, the bye week was in there, so it was 14th game. It's going to be the 15th game and the 16th game of the season, or what? I don't know what it was. Anyway.
It was the 14th game of the season.
14, Bills 15, 16. Against the Giants.
The
both teams had two losses on the season. And I remember telling, I think it was Vic Carucci. I think I told Vic, I go, Vic, and, you know, I said, don't quote me, because I said, because it'll come back. But if we beat the Giants in the Meadowlands, there ain't no stopping us. And that was the team that went to the first Super Bowl. I was right in that. That was the game Jim Kelly got hurt. Phil Simms got hurt. Hostetler came in, and Frank Reich finished it up. We beat them by 3-17-14 in the Meadowlands. And it was a phenomenal game. Cold, a little bit of windy, rainy weather. And I say this too, I've said this in all those, you know, in the Four Falls of Buffalo and all those, you know, the old timers get interviewed. And I'm 17-13, we've been, not 17-14. But you sit back and, you know, and all the times we've been interviewed about it. I think I never saw our coaching staff more thrilled over a victory than they were over that Giants staff. Because they remember, that's Bill Parcells, that was Bill Belichick. I think Tom Coughlin was on that staff. They had some Super Bowl winning head coaches on that staff, and they put together Bill Parcells and those guys. The Giants had it going on for a while there. And they're the team that eventually beat us in the next Super Bowl. So both teams ended up meeting again, but they knew that it was a really, really tough test, and to have our team go out in there and beat them on their own, in their own building. I never saw our coaching staff that got us to four straight Super Bowls, I never saw them happier than that regular season win, even in the championship games, you know, because they were always thinking, wow, we got to, you know, now we got to win this Super Bowl, that kind of thing. Never saw them happier than they were after that Giant victory in regular season.
I recall the game. It was a nationally televised Saturday afternoon game.
It was a huge game.
It was a huge game.
Oh, my gosh.
Jim Kelly goes out. Phil Simms goes out, right? The backup quarterback's finished.
Jim with a knee and Simms with a foot.
And the Bills up 14-10 at halftime, scored a field goal in the fourth quarter. The Giants got a field goal in the third quarter. What was it about that game that made you think I mean, right after the game, what were you thinking about there's no stopping us now? How did you get to that from that one victory, which was, you know, it was obviously a really successful regular season for the Bills, 13-3. That was the 12th win. You were 12-2, that was the 12th win. You went on to win one more game. Why winning that game did you think were for real? Was it because of who the Giants were?
Because of who the Giants were. We kept track of them. You know, they were a team that had – they were lumping people up in the NFC, and they had just – they had won a Super Bowl, in like 4 or 5 years before that.
Yeah, so I had kind of
– right. When they had Lawrence Taylor. They had Phil Simms. They had some guys that were truly national stars and MVP-caliber guys. And to go in there and do it on the road with the way their team was playing, as well as they were playing, with the expectations they had about how good they were. And, of course, the media fueled it as well. That this Giants team was really special. It was big. It was really big. And I knew that if you could go and beat them in their place, headed into the last couple of weeks of the season, going into the playoffs, man, it was going to be – we were something different than people thought we were, something better. And by proving it the way we did was, like I said, inside the locker room, right after the game, was real genuine joy and a sense that we, for the first time, proved it to ourselves how good we were. And I think this game for the Buffalo Bills could be one of those type of games. It's rare that a regular season game has a statement like that. But I'll bet you that the Ravens felt a little bit about that last week.
Yeah,
when they beat the 49ers coming in. It was a big season, regular season win. You know, because usually it's like the season goes along like the Bills has gone. You're playing, you know, the Bengals and the Dolphins twice and, you know, teams that are good. Even the Dallas Cowboys, they were 5-5. Now they're, you know, 5-5. I mean, that's – or 6-6 or whatever they are. They're, you know, you don't get two teams that meet like the Ravens-Niners did last week. This is one of those games, and they don't happen all that often. But, you know, it's not about who they were last year. You know, it's not about, like, in the early month of the season, well, these guys were the NFC champions last year, and you don't know what they're going to be this year.
Right.
But you get it. You know who these teams are, and that's what gives it a little special flavor for this year and these playoffs and how you're going to do the rest of this year when you've got a lot of hope and aspiration.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a great setup. And as I said, I feel really – happy that a whole new generation of Buffalo Bills fans who have grown up without having this kind of meaningful December football gets a chance to have this game and the remaining three. They all should be pretty meaningful. But it's really cool, I think, that Bills fans, I don't know where the cutoff is, younger than 35 years old, gets a chance to have a game like this Sunday.
Certainly younger than 30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Because now they were with kind of their fans with their parents, right, when you were a kid, right?
Right.
Now you get to be a fan as an adult and handle it the way, you know, you have your own traditions, your own man cave, your own group that you watch it with, your own routine that you get
game
it with, you
routine,
know,
your game home day. And away.
And now you're going to maybe get a new playoff game routine, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's something that is so foreign.
Yeah.
You got to think about it.
I mean, I think of my own kids, and your sons are the same age as mine, kind of, right? 31, 30 years old, 29 years old, and, you know. They've never really lived through this. They were alive when you were going to the Super Bowls, but they were 4 or 5 years old then.
Yeah, they didn't have any say in what was going to happen. You know, you know what I mean? They didn't have any say how the day was going to go, what they were going to do. Like, they were just going to do what they were told. Now, when do we watch the game? Okay, I'm going to watch it now, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
I got these Legos to deal with.
Yeah, or I got, or going to get, or they did, you know, my kids were at the games, you know, so they had their own thing. But now... Yeah, when you got a generation who has to do it for themselves now and experience for themselves, that's going to be pretty cool for them.
You talked about this. There is a way, I believe, and I hope the league confirms it eventually, there is a way for the Bills to clinch a playoff spot this weekend by the end of day on Sunday. And I'll give you that scenario in a minute here, but let me just say this. So the Bills, if they get a playoff spot, which they are pointed towards, obviously, headed towards, it'll be two of the last 3 years that they've been to the playoffs. And I know the flukish nature of their playoff berth 2 years ago, but that counted. The nine win scene counted. Can we finally put the negativity of the drought behind us after the Bills go to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years? I would hope so, right?
Yeah.
There are people who still, even after they went to the playoffs 2 years ago, still kind of revel in the drought and talk about the drought and what was the best drought quarterback and who was the worst drought player.
The old drought team, yeah.
That's got to be gone. If you make the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, which they are pointed towards doing, that's over, please, right?
Yeah.
Can I ask for that?
Yeah.
I would think so.
I think it'll go the way of the 0 for the 70s kind of, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Dolphins.
Because when I was here, that was so far out of – we were thumping the Dolphins. We'd, you know, and by 1986, we had 6 straight wins against the Dolphins, you know? So we were well on our way to our own dynasty, you know, our own. So, yeah, that'll go away with time, all that does. But, yeah, I think you get into the playoffs this year, you can safely say that that's
over.
That's gone, yeah.
They can get in the playoffs this Sunday, I believe. And, again, I hope the league confirms this as we move through the week. But as far as we can tell, a clinching scenario for the Bills this Sunday includes, and maybe the most difficult thing, is Buffalo beats Baltimore, right? Tough game. We'll get deep into that as the week goes along. Bills beat Baltimore, they get to 10-3. They also need, and these are 1 o'clock games here, Denver beats Houston. Houston, then the best they could finish with would be 11-5. And Houston at 11-5, the worst look, you got to look at it this way. If the Bills beat Baltimore, the worst they could finish would be 10-6. If Houston wins, the best they could, or if Houston loses, the best they could finish with would be 11-5. and they would win the AFC South. Tampa Bay beats Indianapolis this week. If that happens, the Bills and the other two things happen, the best that Indy could finish would be 9-7 behind the Bills. Tennessee, this is a 425 game. Tennessee beats Oakland. If that happens, Tennessee would be 11-5, and Oakland would be 9-7. And by that scenario, the Bills would be 10-6 and be the sixth seed if all of that happens. Those teams lose those games. Again, Buffalo beats Baltimore, Denver beats Houston, Tampa Bay beats Indy, Tennessee beats Oakland. The Bills would be at least a sixth seed, which is a playoff berth. That could happen by, what, 7:30 p.m. this Sunday.
Right.
Not saying it will, but it could.
No, but that's, you know, you get it to a point where four with four games left, you can clinch a playoff spot. You're singing along, humming along pretty good.
And by the way, it's so different than it was 2 years ago when you had to wait to the very last play of the very last game of the day in week 17 right. to get to the playoffs. Amazing. Right. Amazing that it's changed so dramatically.
Yeah. And it's been a steady climb. Although a steady climb, not from 2 years ago, but probably from week, what are we going to say, about week, the Chicago game last year, maybe week eight last year, it's been a steady climb. We had to bottom out first after the playoff thing, right?
You keep going back to that Chicago game.
But now, think how different the world looks from this point, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it'll look much different if the Bills were managed to beat a really good football team this Sunday. It'll change. The point of view will change a lot for people who don't even care about the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Then it'll change for a lot of people.
Got a good show here today to talk about these issues and more. We're going to dive heavily into the Baltimore Ravens as the week goes along and try to find a way for the Bills to beat this Baltimore team, and we'll need your help with that. Obviously, it's a tall order. We'd love to have you listen today. We got a good show. Going to have Kyle Brandt on the show with us at 1 o'clock today, about 45 minutes from now, the host of Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, 7 a.m. on weekdays. He's been with us all season long. He didn't just predict the Bills' victory at Dallas last Thursday. He guaranteed it. He guaranteed a win at Dallas, and we will let him celebrate. We'll let him do a victory lap. He might just take his little phone and do a victory lap right for us, right? When
Why not?
And we got a special guest at 1:30 today, Joe Ferguson, former Bills quarterback, who was at the game in Dallas. He has moved to Dallas. Family there now. Former Bills quarterback, 73 through 84, 17 seasons in the NFL. He's on the Bills Wall of Fame. He took teams to the playoffs as well. Fergie's going to join us at 1:30. I look forward to catching up with him. You know Joe?
Oh, yeah. I've met him. In fact, here's my Joe Ferguson story.
Let's hear it.
1986, the off season after 86, before 87, Joe was maybe it was 80. Yeah, had to be 87. Maybe it was 86. Anyway, I'm an old man. The point of it is Joe Ferguson was still playing and had just been released, and the Bills brought him in for a workout to see if they were going to bring him back as a backup to Jim. Like as a veteran mentor, a guy who knew Buffalo, guys you count on to like Buffalo. I'll come back to Buffalo and play. They gave him the workout. I was the guy that caught his passes. I ran routes for him in his tryout. So that's my Joe Ferguson story. I was the guy that dropped so many passes they didn't sign him.
Was he throwing it well?
He threw it all right. What I remember having him say is that the throw that Joe had trouble with at the end was the deep out. Mm-hmm. When you'd run that deep comeback on the outside, he had trouble getting it out there.
Yeah.
They were like, man, you know what? We got to have that, you know?
When he came on board with the Bills, he had an amazingly strong arm, but did not he didn't throw it much. They handed it off to OJ his first year, right? It was ridiculous how much they ran that year. It was great, actually. As 2 or 3 years in, I think the Bills took advantage of his strong arm, and it was really strong. Maybe Josh Allen strong.
Yeah.
It's a good strong arm. And by the end, it was tough to watch sometimes because he couldn't throw, as you said, the deep out. I'll tell this quick story. 1984 season, Bills at Washington, the old RFK Stadium, and Fergie struggled badly. I don't have the numbers in front of me. One of the Bills receivers was Preston Dennard, former Ram, and I'm doing a post-game interview with Preston Dennard, and I think he knew what he said, and I think he meant what he said post-game. You know, Preston, tell me about the struggles of the Bills passing game. And Preston looked at me, Preston Dennard, and said, man, what do you expect? We got a rag arm for a quarterback. He's talking about Joe Ferguson. I wanted to slap him right there. I said, you don't talk about Fergie like that. But it was tough at the end. You know, his arm had worn out at the end. I won't bring that up when Joe Ferguson joins us at 1:30. But it was tough to hear that, right? And I think there was an element of truth there. Preston Dennard, I guess covering his own butt, said, well, what do you think's going to happen when that guy's throwing the way he does?
Yeah.
Joe Ferguson, is that a bad story? Should I have left that
in
the tank?
Yeah, well, that's all right. I mean, listen, it's 17 years in the league.
Yes!
Yeah, you're not the same guy.
Yes.
And listen, he was here for some great times and some rough times.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, even me, same thing with me. There were times in my career I'd like to forget too, moments in my career I'd like to forget too. But you know what? Now, at this point in my life, yeah, I can put my arms around all of it. It was all I learned from all of it and enjoyed most of it. And I'm like the rest of us, you know. You got to live with what you've done.
Yeah, Fergie has a lot to be proud of.
He does. I there's still more things that I cherish than there are things I'd like to forget. So you got to live with it.
Joe Ferguson joins us at 1:30 today. Coming up at 2, we're going to go. We're going to talk with Judy Batista, NFL.com writer, NFL Network reporter. She was in Baltimore a couple of days ago for the Ravens victory over the San Francisco 49ers. We will talk with her about that. And maybe she has some thoughts on what the Bills might do against Baltimore, huh?
Yeah, it's the great burning question. How do you stop those guys? How do you beat? How do you score more points than them? Over the last 6 games, the Ravens have allowed 13 points. And just for your asking, for the last 5 games, the Bills defense has allowed 13 points. So don't worry about dodging fireworks at this game, right? It might be a 13-13 tie, you know. But that'll be it's going to be a big challenge for the Bills to stop that offense. And I think the Bills' offense, obviously, we've seen it present some challenges for Baltimore. It'll be fun to see these teams get after each other.
Before we dive headfirst into Baltimore this week, we want to spend one more day today on our show talking a little bit about where the Bills are at. I mean, they're 75% complete with the season now, right? 12 games, 4 games to go. Just kind of an assessment of where they're at and what they need, and that takes us to our Twitter poll. It is up right now on Twitter, and we've already got 400 votes in over the first 21 minutes of the show. Simple question on Twitter. What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? Where can they get better down the stretch here, the final 4 games? What do you think it is? I'd like to hear from you. Phone line's open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. You can send in a tweet. We can read them on the tweet sheet. We'll do that in a moment. Or you can vote in the Twitter poll. As I said, 400 votes in so far. What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? It's kind of close, Steve. It looks like a good question. 46% of our respondents so far say the deep ball, the deep threat, still not there in the offense. They're making plays in the passing game. They're still ranked 23rd overall in passing game effectiveness in the NFL. 46%, almost half of our respondents say that's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills. 30% say, you know what, they need more big game experience. You could argue, I think, pretty effectively that Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, was a big game for the Bills. It was, and big game experience, national TV. They need more of that as they make their way towards the playoffs, right? I think that's a pretty solid argument, and 30% of you think that's what's still missing, more big game experience. 16% say that what's still missing from the Bills is playoff-caliber opponents. Talked about this in the entire first half of the season. You know who they played. You know who they beat. They still only have one opponent. I believe it's still one, maybe not. The only Tennessee Titans, right? The only team they've beaten with the winning record right now. I'll check.
And they didn't have a winning record when the Bills played them, right? So, yeah.
So maybe that's what they need, right? Playoff caliber opponents. They'll get one this week. That's to be sure.
That's right. Tennessee 7-5 now, but when they played them, it was I think they were 4-5 when the Bills, or maybe 5-5 when the Bills played them. I'm not sure. I can't think back that far now. I don't know what.
But that's the only one of the Bills' 9 victims so far this year that is a winning record. The Tennessee Titans, Dallas, of course, now 6-6. Maybe more playoff caliber opposition is the key down the stretch here, or something else. 9% have another idea. Let us know what you think. What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? There's still a quarter of the season left. 4 games left, 2 at home, 2 on the road. They can fill in some of these blanks. They can patch up some of these deficiencies. They are not perfect. I think we can agree with that, right? They're not a perfect team. They're 9-3. They're really fun. They're sensational on defense. Look, if you ask this question at midseason, and we may have, one of the things people would say is they need more sacks. They need more sacks. They've fixed that problem over the last 4 games. See, they've got 15 sacks total in the last 3 games. They've got more sacks right now with 4 games to play than they had all of last year.
They also start getting turnovers,
yeah,
which was a huge thing. So they're growing and they're attacking whatever their weaknesses are, their deficiencies are. They're putting good game plans together. They're executing at a higher level. And by the way, when the Bills played the Tennessee Titans, the Titans were 2-2. So they were 500 ball club when the Bills played them. So yeah, there might be that in the offing that they haven't played some strong teams, and the Cowboys are at the top of a very weak division here in 2019. So still, this is a team that is continuing to be more and more fun to watch because they're becoming better and better right before our eyes. I think that's a cool place to think about being. This game last week in Dallas was, I think, their best game of the year. And there's, when you start to play your best games of the year, you want it to be at the end when you've got a chance to go all the way. That's where the Bills are at. They're growing into a really, really tough team to beat, and a playoff caliber team and all of the other stuff, championship kind of team that you get in the playoffs and you do feel like you can beat anybody. It's a fun place to be.
And I think, the point is, I think there's room for improvement and there's time for improvement here. 4 games left, and that's how we want you to approach this question of the day, this Twitter poll. What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? What do you see and what are you looking for? A deep passing threat? More big game experience? More playoff caliber opposition? Something else? We got phone lines open to discuss, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. Vote in the Twitter poll, whatever you'd like. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to take the show in this direction, but, of course, we'll take all of your phone calls and discuss whatever you'd like to talk about. What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? Let's start with a tweet sheet. It is brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. What do you got there, Steve?
Yeah, from Bob, and this was a good one I saw early on. I thought it was a pretty astute observation. He says, fans really need to stop with the deep ball passes and 300-yard passing as a benchmark of winning. This team is winning with different ways and game plans. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Sure, a shot here and there down the field to keep them honest, but it's not a must. That's from Bob. And then from Praise, he thinks, I think the Bills are going in the right direction, but I don't know if we beat a top team in the playoffs yet. We will find out when we play the Ravens and the Patriots. And like I said, this last month of the season's got a lot of lessons that the Bills fans are going to learn and a lot of things we're going to find out about this team in particular as these last 4 games transpire. I'm really, really curious to see how the Bills stack up against the Ravens, Steelers, and the Patriots. This team, not the team that the Bills were 2 months ago even, but this team in week, 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever. I want to see how this team stacks up against those teams. I think that's a fun place to be right now.
Can I get back to the first tweet there from Bob?
Yeah.
And he starts with, fans really need to stop with deep ball passes and 300-yard passing games as benchmarks of winning. It has never been a benchmark of winning. It has never been. Years ago, if a quarterback threw for 300 yards, it was more apt to be in a loss. Now, I know it's not that way now, but it doesn't directly correlate 300 yards through the air with a win for your team. Lamar Jackson, right, having a great year. He might be the MVP. You know how many 300-yard passing games he's had this year? Guess.
Lamar Jackson? Yeah. 0.
1.
Has he had one?
Opening day, he had 324 yards in their demolition in Miami, 59-10. He hasn't had one since, a 300-yard passing game. They've won 8 in a row. He hasn't had a 300-yard passing game. Lamar Jackson, they won the other day. He threw for 105 yards. Weather, obviously a factor. 169 yards in a win at the Raiders or at the Rams. 222 yards in a win over Houston. 223 yards. And look, he's not he's an MVP candidate. He's not throwing for 300 yards. He's not the greatest passer in the NFL, but he's not throwing for 300 yards. Bob is right on his Twitter. 300-yard passing game is not a benchmark of winning, and this team does, the Bills team, wins in different ways. And by the way, you got to do that, right? Resourcefulness is key if you're going to have a winning record. Find a way to win. That's critical, and this Bills team has done it.
And the teams that are at the top there, I mean, you think of it. Last night, the Seahawks beat the Vikings. They scored 37 points. They did have a defensive touchdown, but so they scored 30 points. Russell Wilson had 240 yards passing. 240.
And he is the other MVP.
And he's another MVP candidate. Kirk Cousins had 276 yards passing in a loss last night. They scored 30 points. So Actually, the defensive touchdown was on the Vikings side. The Seahawks scored all of their touchdowns, I think, offensively, or maybe they had. I didn't watch the entire game. It was just too late on the West Coast. But 37 points, and he only threw for 240 yards. I mean, and you look at the way the Baltimore Ravens are winning games, all of that. It's interesting to see how these teams are finding different ways to do it. And you know, the Seahawks, the Bills, the Saints, the stats on the Saints last game against the Falcons, Matt Ryan and Drew Brees had 184 yards passing. They won, scored 26 points. Now, Matt Ryan in the loss had 312 yards passing, but he also had the two interceptions. Think about that. Drew Brees, who's thrown for 5,000 yards a bunch in his career, had 184 yards passing this last Sunday and won, scoring 26 points. The league's in a spot right now where they are winning games a lot more with a running game and a lot more with different types of plays and more creative play calling. It's pretty weird, actually, isn't it? It seems really weird. You look at the offense the Ravens are running, nobody was doing that. Nobody has been doing that.
Yeah.
You see the Cardinals are trying to do a little bit of it, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands, using their quarterbacks as weapons who can run the football and get first downs with their legs. And the Bills have done that as a ton too, calling those Josh Allen short yardage sweeps. The Ravens are doing that a ton. You pull that tackle and you send a fullback or a tight end out in front. You got two big bodies and a big quarterback coming around the end. It's pretty hard to stop.
Yeah.
So, that 300-yard passing thing, not this year. Now, right. It may swing back into vogue next year, but I think it's amazing how these teams all kind of find the same way to win when given seasons. A couple of years ago, you almost had three guys go over 5,000 yards.
Right.
Not anymore. You know, it doesn't happen.
Yep. What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? That's the question on the table, and the presumption is they have room for improvement, right? They certainly do. Bills fans understand that. Brian Daboll understands that. He talked about it yesterday, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, Brian Daboll, talking about how they can improve moving forward. Here's what he said.
You know, we've got a long way to go, a lot of things to work on. Starting this week against, you know, a team the last 6 weeks that's given up 13 points a game, first in the league, best against the best quarterback rating, you know, somewhere around 70%, somewhere in that area. Best in the red zone, 184-point differential in the last six games, you know, against some pretty good football teams. Daunting task, challenging defense. Coach Martindale does, a phenomenal job of giving you multiplicity of looks. It'll be a challenging week for preparation.
Ryan Daboll, Bills offensive coordinator, they're preparing right now. It looks like essentially a full practice out there today at this Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
I guess they were off yesterday. I misspoke yesterday.
They gave them the long weekend off. And they'll come in, go Tuesday through Saturday this week and start to focus. But imagine the challenge of going up against a team like the Baltimore Ravens, who are playing a unique style of offense with an elite athlete at quarterback who can really throw it too. He's the atomic man. The guy's the atomic bomb. You know, he really is. Lamar Jackson is the atomic bomb. I called Cam Newton that a couple of years ago when he took them to the Super Bowl. And now I think, to their credit, Baltimore found their own, and he's getting it done. What a fun player to watch he is.
Going to be fun this Sunday. We know that. Going to be fun leading up to it all week, talking about the Bills and the Ravens. And we'd love to talk with you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free. From outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Question to get it started, what's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills, even at 9-3, even after their big win in Dallas last Thursday? What do you think still missing? Give us a call, shoot in a text, and we'll discuss. Steve and I just getting going here on this Tuesday afternoon. It is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. It is a Tuesday afternoon. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. The Bills at 9-3 getting set to play the 10-2 Baltimore Ravens this Sunday right here. I'm not going to keep saying it, but I'm just really glad that there's a whole new generation of Bills fans get to see a game that really means something. That's really cool. And this game means a lot.
Yeah,
right?
It does. I think it's a huge opportunity for the team, for the organization, to put on display what they've been trying to build here. And it's against an absolute can't-miss playoff team. I mean, this is the Baltimore Ravens are a playoff team. Coming up after that, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a playoff team. They're a 7-5 team, depending on what they do this weekend, obviously. This game is like the playoffs because you're playing those teams at the end of the season in which they're going to be in there in the tournament. So how you stack up against these teams says a lot about how successful you might be once that tournament starts, if you can get in. So it's pretty meaningful in a lot of different ways. It gives you a yardstick for where your development is, and it also gives you a scouting report on what that team thinks about you. That's as helpful as any of the scouting you do yourself. Because when the Baltimore Ravens get into a game against the Buffalo Bills, how they play your team tells your team what they see, what that other team sees. And you can adjust your development, you can adjust your game plan, you can adjust your own evaluations based on what other teams see in you. And it's really enlightening. And I think, it's not like you can just say that and you watch casual. When you go in and these guys grind out and pull apart the film about why they played a certain scheme and who they're leaving one-on-one, who they're covering one-on-one, who they're double-teaming, who they're attacking on your offensive line, how many guys they throw at the front, the stunts that they run, everything tells you something about what that team thinks about you. And when you get in against these really good teams like the Ravens, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, like the New England Patriots, it gives you an insight, if you don't already have one, about how they, attack you and what you can expect and when you meet again. So these are important, huge games if the Bills can continue to play well and get in the playoffs and face these teams again.
What do you think? What's still missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills? Let's get to the phone lines. We'll go to Gary and his home. Hello, Gary. Where is your home, Gary?
Clarence. We're in Clarence.
Clarence. Oh, great to have you with us, Gary. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I agree with that tweet earlier that the offense doesn't need to do much changing. They're doing fine as they are. But on defense, here's a suggestion I'd like you to pass on to the coaches. Why don't they add a linebacker, take away a lineman on defense in order to spread out that defense so Lamar can't do his run around the end type thing, and more of a containment. The linemen are just going to butt heads with each other, and if they do manage to get into the backfield of the Ravens, they won't be able to catch Lamar.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the answer, and I'm not really an expert on this, but I do know this. It's a power running game, Steve, for Baltimore, and they have extra tight ends. They all block. They all block well for Lamar Jackson. Look, this guy isn't scrambling for all that yardage, 977 yards rushing.
He's
probably going to get 1,000 yards this Sunday.
Yeah.
He's not scrambling. He's not scooting around picking up yardage. Those are designed runs for him, which include blocks, lead blocks in front of him, a fullback, or one of the many tight ends they have. So I don't know if an extra linebacker works in that regard. I think you want to You want to knock heads with them. You want to win at the line of scrimmage and maybe shut down those running lanes. That would be my theory.
Yeah. The thing that makes a guy like Lamar Jackson so dangerous, not only is that he's an integral part of their run game because they have called quarterback runs, option plays, read option plays, where you're not sure if he's going to keep the ball or give it to Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram is a really good running back as well. You got to defend two guys in the running game and a bunch of guys in the passing game. You've got to hit on all cylinders and you got to stay disciplined. Now, certainly there are things they can do, but here's the kicker. Not only do they execute all that stuff really well, the run, the read options, the passing game. Lamar is a very accurate passer. He's a fast, big, agile running back, as well as a really good drop back quarterback. The difference is, because you meet good quarterbacks a lot, you meet good running backs a lot. The difference is that Lamar's got the ball in his hand every play, and when you do defend it, he can still improvise and make a play to beat you. So it's not all just about – it's about what he does off the page, and that's what you've got to really try and contain as well. It's you've got to hit on all cylinders almost all the time against this offense of the Ravens, or they're going to just stay on the field, and you're going to have about 20 minutes of possession time for your offense. They're going to run 60 plays offensively, and you're going to run 35, and you're going to have to beat them under those parameters, and it's almost impossible to do.
Let's hear from the expert on this, Leslie Frazier, the Bills' defensive coordinator. He met with the media yesterday, and he was asked, "What do you do? What do you do with a guy like Lamar Jackson?" Here's what Leslie Frazier had to say about that.
He seems to be a really bright young quarterback who understands, obviously, the run game, but has a good feel for the pass game as well. You really don't want to sleep on what he does in the passing game. His ability to be able to find people in zones and find the mismatches in man, but his ability to run around with the football and scramble and make plays and then the design runs for the quarterback puts a lot of pressure on your defense. So he does a lot of things well. And you really can't pinpoint and say, if you can take this away, you really have him down. But he does a lot of things well, so it'll be a challenge. I think it was one of the Chargers players who commented after the game, it was hard for them to tell, when he had the ball and when he didn't have the ball. He's a little bit of a Houdini back there with the football and really, so deceptive with whether or not he's handing it off or he's keeping it or potentially passing it. But he runs the offense extremely well and probably as good as anybody at our level who's run this style of offense. You just don't see it very often, Marcel. So it's different, but he does a very good job of running the RPO system.
He's a Houdini with the ball. Find the ball. I mean, it's hard even watching the games on TV, and I've watched them a couple of times. Hard to follow the ball when it's in the hands of Lamar Jackson. It can go anywhere. Look, it's a great offense, and Eric Wood talked about it at length with us about the job that Greg Roman has done yet again with another mobile quarterback. Did it with Kaepernick, did it with Tyrod Taylor here. Now maybe he's excelling at it with Lamar Jackson. It is really – it's a fun offense to watch unless you're trying to stop him. I'm sure that's the way the Leslie Frazier looks at it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much going on, and one of the things – and Eric Wood told us yesterday and has made it clear, what happens is if they get, you start getting this defense running – sideways with this, even the tight ends who they'll hand the ball off on one of those jet sweeps like we give it to Isaiah McKenzie or Robert Foster, they'll do that with tight ends. And you got a heavy guy with the ball, you kind of got to get over there and get in front of him. You feel like it. All this stuff's going side to side, and all of a sudden you're starting to get caught up in all that movement. All of a sudden they throw it over the top of your head, or they throw it, go get your moving side to side, and all of a sudden the ball is over here because their ball handling is so good. And they're doing it with a lead blocker and a running back where you were even leaning the wrong way. So you got to get back over there. And by the time you get over there, and even if you stop it and get really good, it's a 4-yard gain. And that's a win for the offense on a first down play or even a second down in normal play. So they do so much they do it with big people. They've got a lot of speed as well that they can offer it, mostly with Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson, who are fast. Mark Ingram's a really good running back. And he's worth a game plan all in his own, right? So you add Lamar Jackson into that. There's a lot on your plate as a defender. You've got to really mind your eyes, make sure your eyes are in the right spot. Don't get caught up in what's going on over there. Make sure your guy does not have the football before you do anything else, and then pursue. And that's for a lot of guys, it's hard because you really have to bear up and get some strong pursuit to stop these plays before they get to be a significant gain. And in doing so, you forget that in your pursuit, you're the guy you were supposed to be defending in the first place has actually got the ball. That's been a real issue for teams defending the Ravens, and it's going to continue that way until some teams figure it out.
Hey, playoff scenarios, the league makes it official, and we were correct. You said it yesterday. I mentioned today. Bills clinch a playoff berth this Sunday. They can if they beat Baltimore. All right, we got that. If Tennessee beats Oakland, an Oakland loss or a tie. That's the only thing we didn't mention. I don't like to think about ties.
Right.
Denver beats Houston, and Tampa Bay hands Indianapolis a loss or a tie, and right. The Bills win. So
the Bills got to win, and Oakland, Houston, Indianapolis, if any one of those three lose and Buffalo wins, the Bills are in.
And there are a couple ties in
Oakland,
play.
Houston, Indy. Yeah, or ties.
Well,
if somebody ties this weekend, you can tear this scenario because it's all, yeah, it gives you a headache, all the permutations right. with the ties. But by the same token, simply put, if Buffalo wins this weekend, of course, and also Oakland or Houston or Indy loses. It doesn't have to be all three of them or two of the three or any. If any one of those three loses, Oakland, Houston, or Indy, and the Bills win, the Bills are in.
That'd be amazing. We got a break here. We're coming back with more. It would be. We're coming back with more. Let us know what you think. What's still missing from the Buffalo Bills of 2019? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're back. One Bills Live from the Seneca Studio, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We're heading up to 1 o'clock when Kyle Brandt's going to join us. This is kind of cool, Steve, along with the game on Sunday. Pretty cool game. The Bills and Pagula Sports and Entertainment announcing today that they will honor members of St. Bonaventure's 1970 men's basketball team before this Sunday's game. Nine former Bonnies and Coach Larry Wiese to celebrate the 50th anniversary of their legendary run to the Final Four. Matt Gant, Greg Gary, Billy Kalbaugh, Mike Cull, 50 years after beginning a season that would end in the Final Four, they'll be on the field. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? It was 1 year, 1970, so what was I, 13 years old, when both the Bonnies and Niagara went to the NCAA tournament. Niagara had the All-American Calvin Murphy. Bonnies had the All-American Bob Lanier. Bonnies went right to the Final Four. It's part of a partnership between St. Bonaventure and the Buffalo Bills, and they will celebrate that partnership, the Bonnies becoming an official education partner. But it'll be cool. I mean, that was a major event in Buffalo sports history, 1970. Niagara went to the NCAA, and Bonnies went all the way to the Final Four. Pretty cool.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that happened in the same year. I've been here for a long time.
Yeah. The Bonnies were big time with Lanier. They were huge. We're talking to you today about the Bills game on Sunday and about what's missing from the 2019 Buffalo Bills. What have you seen? What would you like to see more of? Here is Paul on the line from Akron. Hello, Paul. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I wanted to kind of ask you guys a question because Baltimore was beat twice. And it was by Cleveland and by Kansas City.
Back-to-back weeks.
The reason I want to ask this question is because I'm trying to figure out what the Bills could do to win. So I guess the best way to try to figure out that is, what did they do successfully to beat Baltimore that we might be able to take from that to hopefully get a win this weekend? And I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Really good question. I plan on watching at least one of those games this week. You don't have to go back that far. That was, eight games, right? They won eight in a row.
Right.
They lost them back-to-back weeks. And I will look at that game, maybe have a better answer. But even San Francisco, now the Bills have a really good defense. The Niners do as well. The Niners held them to 20 points, their lowest point output of the year so far, Steve. I think that game, especially because of the proximity, might be more instructive than going all the way back two and a half months ago.
Right. Think how different the Buffalo Bills are than they were 2.5 months ago, you know, back in weeks 3 and 4, 2 months ago. So, it will help, no question, but I think they'll digest all these games and they'll look at what 49ers, and here's the problem. Now, the 49ers may do things with their defense that the Bills don't feel comfortable doing with their guys because of the personnel they have. The Niners have got six of their seven guys are first-round draft picks up front on their defense. The Bills don't. They got a couple, but they don't. They're going to do it differently. They're going to do it with the way their people stack up. So it'll be a different thought. It may be the same philosophy, or the end goal may be the same. They may see they probably do see the Baltimore Ravens offense the same way that the Niners defense did, but they will probably have their own plan that will maximize their players just like the Niners did. And it'll be up to the Bills and the players to execute it. So, yes, you can get some instruction on games like that, but going back as far as they have, they've won 8 games in a row. It's 2 months ago since they lost a game. They're a much different football team now than they were then. And in the meantime, they beat the Bengals. The Bengals held them to 23 points. You know, but everybody else, it's been the Steelers gave them 26. The Seahawks, they scored 30 on the Seahawks. They scored 37 on the New England Patriots. They scored 49 the second time they played the Bengals. They scored 41 against the Houston Texans. They scored 45 against the Los Angeles Rams. And then when they met the 49ers, they only scored 20. This is a team that can roll it up, that can roll it up big time. So you better be ready for it. But you're right; you've got to come up with a game plan that gives you a chance to beat them. And that's the big question: whether you can go back and get some lessons. And there might be some lessons in the Cincinnati Bengals' second meeting with them, where they gave up 49 points. But you know, it doesn't matter how many points you get; it depends on the philosophy and what they find out about it. So there are things to learn in all those games. And we'll see what happens on this Sunday when the Bills unfurl their game plan.
Got a break right here. We're coming back with more. Come on back with us. One Bills Live with me and Steve Tasker here until 3. When we come back, Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network is going to be joining us. Come on back for that. It's One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.